On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Father, we just thank you for this time together. We just ask that as we go to your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, just let the life of your word be infused in our being this morning, and just let us leave this place knowing we've heard a clear word from you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I'm doing a little bit of a three-week mini-series, the Christmas story, kind of through the eyes of the three greatest virtues, that of faith, hope, and love. We looked at faith and how it ties into the Christmas story and how the Christmas story ties into faith. And today we're going to look at hope. And we're going to see how hope ties into the Christmas story and how the Christmas story is all about a message of hope. But let me give you the definition of hope. All right, and so when I talk about hope, I want us all to think of the same thing, and this is my definition, that it's a confident expectation for a better tomorrow. That's just Joe's definition. A confident expectation for a better tomorrow. In other words, if you came in today and something's missing in your life, my prayer this morning is that you get an infusion of hope, that you leave excited about your life and excited about the days ahead. So we're going to take a look through the Christmas story here about the importance of hope. Not only how it applies to the Christmas story, but how hope applies to our story. So let's read together in Luke 2, beginning verse 8 through 16. And Jesus was just born, okay? The birth of Christ just happened, and then we got some shepherds out watching some sheep, minding their own business, all right? And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly, I like that word, suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there's that word again, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude. How many know multitudes a lot? Of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. So, this is a story about the shepherds, and it's a story about hope. And I think we'll be able to relate with what happened to the shepherds can happen, has happened, can happen to us. And the importance of hope in this story, number one, is that hope awakens the heart. Now, think about the shepherds. They're watching their sheep. They're pulling, they're doing all-nighters. And that night was probably just like any other night. One that they've done possibly hundreds of times. Could have been a very quiet, sleepy, uneventful night. Maybe even a little boring, a little dull, or routine. How many of you know that sometimes life can become routine, and that routine can become dull or boring? We miss something. Now, I'm even talking about young families whose lives are very busy with young children, where we can, it just seems like the same thing's happening over and over again. Groundhog Day. You all seen that movie? I imagine the shepherds, you know, could have written their own groundhog story. You know, it just seemed like this was no different than any other night. And our lives can become like that, where we feel like we're in a rut and just all the excitement and expectancy of life just begins to kind of drain out of us. But then something happened. An angel appeared, and then everything changed. The angel made an announcement of Christ being born, and then a whole choir showed up. Wouldn't you love to have heard that choir? We will someday. I bet you they're pretty good. Now, how many of you know that if you were one of these sleepy shepherds going through another dull, boring, routine night, and all of a sudden an angel appears, makes this announcement, and to back that up, this whole host, heavenly host, shows up and does this incredible song, you know, this announcement that Christ is born, and then as quickly as it happened, they disappeared. So would you yawn and go back to the rest of your night? I don't think so. With the angels, this created a buzz among them. It created an excitement deep down in them. And you know what that excitement deep down in them was? Hope. Something had just happened to them. There is this announcement, you know, they were shepherds, and I'm sure that they heard about, you know, someday a Savior is going to be born, and so on and so forth. Now, the shepherds were kind of considered the least of the Israelites, all right, because they couldn't obey a lot of the laws. Their job kept them pretty busy. Out away from society, and they were considered sinners and just almost scum of the earth type of people. And all of a sudden, they just had the world rocked in a huge way. Could you imagine? Paul, did you see what? Am I the only one that saw her? Did you see that too? That angel appeared to the Savior's born? Now, they know something about a Savior, I would imagine, being Jewish, but on our watch, them appearing to little old me and telling me, and then, was it me or a whole host of angels? Did they appear? Wow! I mean, could you imagine the excitement starting to well up within them? You know, when, understand this, that when our lives become dull and boring and routine, it doesn't take much for God to show us something, to create that excitement, and to give us that hope that you know what, there's more to life than just what I'm experiencing. The shepherds had the hope that today's godly encounter was going to make for them a better tomorrow. Verse 11 says again, for today there's been born for you a Savior, for you, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For me? But I'm just a shepherd. I'm despised in the eyes of everybody else. He was born for me? Wouldn't that do something for the hope factor within you? And I imagine it just started welling up within them. the news got their attention and it rocked their world, and I can't help but to think it ignited something, some great hope within them. And the shepherds responded to this in two ways. Verse 15, it says, the shepherds began to say to one another. It stirred conversation among them. Wow, I can't believe it. Of all the people that the Lord could have, you know, appeared to, he sent his angels to us. And the Savior was born for us. But they didn't leave it there. In verse 16, it says, they came in haste to Bethlehem to where the baby was born. May the activity of God in our life stir our conversations and steer our actions. What happened to the shepherds has certainly created a buzz among them. But shouldn't God doing something in our lives create a buzz among us? When was the last time that you had that type of an encounter where you felt kind of dead inside and maybe, you know, life had just sort of lost its excitement and joy, and then all of a sudden God did something, and all of a sudden, man, you got this excitement, this expectancy inside of you, and if you don't tell somebody, you're just gonna burst, and that wouldn't be pretty. You know, you gotta tell somebody. You know, I think of Amy and her family. They're getting ready to move back home. God showed them with clarity. And I've just seen Amy just, there's this, you can't wipe the smile off her face because she's moving on to that next chapter because she heard clearly from the Lord. And so when was the last time that you called up a friend or texted them or emailed them or whatever you, however you do it anymore, excited about something that God showed you? You know, I'm asking for testimonies for 2 weeks from today. I don't have very many. Now, I know God well enough to know that he moves in people's lives. But aren't we excited enough to share about what God is doing? Paul, when he's doing the announcements, I think it's Paul or someone said, we don't know who's going to be helped by our testimony. You know, either God's not doing, either you're sort of having a pre-appearance experience where your life is dull and boring and routine and, you know, or God has showed up and done something marvelous in your life, but you just haven't had a chance to communicate it. Testimony Sunday is a wonderful opportunity to communicate it with others. And if nothing exciting has happened in your life, ask God for it. Say, God, awaken my heart. Renew that hope that's within me. Yeah, I know someday when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus and all that's cool. But, you know, life is pretty drab right now. Say, God, wake up my heart. Put some hope in me. Just let me wake up in the morning with a smile on my face because I can't wait for the day to start. Where is the hope that we have as believers in Christ? Have we just sort of let it kind of... Bleh? God wants to give us that hope. It awakened the hope in the shepherds. My prayer is that it awakens and renews a hope that we have. But that's the importance. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning and to get dressed and to go about our day is the hope and the expectation of what God is doing in our life and what he has shown us. So that's one importance of hope. It awakens the heart. The second is that hope abolishes the fear. All right? It abolishes the fear. In Luke 2, 8, and 9, it says, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were very cool with it all. Is that what it says? It says they were what? Terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." The shepherds' first reaction to a move of God in their life was that of fear. And they weren't alone. Remember Zacharias? He was in the temple and the angel appeared to him. He was afraid. Mary and Joseph was afraid. They all had fear issues of seeing angels. And I don't think it would be any different for us. If an angel appeared before you or before me, it would scare the willies out of me. The angel's first words, "Don't be afraid." You know, who wouldn't be? These poor angels, they're probably starting to get this real complex. How about if every time you showed up, you saw somebody, and you have to start out every conversation, "Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay." That's kind of where the angels were at, because it was so uncommon for God to reveal himself in these ways. And Zacharias, Mary, Joseph were all godly people minding their own business. The shepherds, I don't know if they were godly people or not. Doesn't say one way or the other. We know that they were kind of a despised segment of the Jewish population. But God made an appearance in their lives and it rocked their world. But initially, because it was something that was so out of the ordinary, the first reaction was that of fear. And it could have caused them to shrink back and say no to God and not obey what they knew that God wanted them to do. But yet hope went out. And they said yes to God. And as a result, their lives were changed forever. I remember, I was born and raised going to church, as many of you know. Born and raised Catholic, and that's all I knew was Catholic Mass. Then the age of 18, just turned 18, I accepted Christ. And the church I began to attend had a midweek service, but that particular week it was canceled, so the guy that basically led me to Christ, he invited me to a service in East Lansing at a larger church. So this is this Catholic boy's first experience to a non-Catholic service. I go down in the basement of a church, and they're sitting in chairs like this, and they're all kind of like three-quarter circle. And there's all these young people, you know, blue jeans and, you know, just dressed real casual, and they're strumming, you know, they're tuning up their guitars and, you know, what musicians do before. And I'm saying, "Whoa, wait, this isn't church. It's not church as I know it." And so I'm sitting there in the second or third row, about 10 minutes before it starts, I'm going, "This is weird." I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, "This is weird." I'm just looking around. All these people are laughing, they're smiling, and I'm just, yeah. And some really nice lady turns around. "First time here, isn't it?" How could you tell? You know? It was a fearful thing for me. But you know what? Because it's a fearful thing doesn't mean it's a wrong thing. Now, I had a decision to make. God, this decision I made to accept you has taken my life in a whole new direction, something I'm not familiar with, I'm not aware of, and I don't know what lies ahead. But if this is any indication, I don't know. It was kind of, it's the fear of the unknown is what it is. But praise God, I said yes to him. And I moved forward. And I had many of those experiences in my life, as many of you who've been a Christian for any length of time can relate. Following God is this extraordinary adventure. It will challenge us. When God reveals himself into a way, reveals himself to us in a way that we're not familiar with, our first reaction is going, "Oh." And God says, "Don't be afraid." And we could be like the Gadarenes. When Jesus went over to see the Gadarenes in Matthew 8, the second part of that chapter, there was two demoniacs in the tombs. Chains would not hold them. They were wild men. They were demon possessed. And people were so afraid of them that they could not walk down the road next to the tombs. Now imagine in Portland, if there are some people that were so, that you were so terrified of, that it kept you from going to parts of Portland. Jesus showed up, and these two demoniacs come running up to him, you know, and Jesus cast the demons out of them into the pigs, and you know, the pigs go down, run down the embankment into the water, and all the pigs die. And the first reaction of this unusual move of God was all the people became afraid. What is this thing we just witnessed? I don't understand it. The problem is what these people did is that they went back into the city, those who witnessed this unusual move of God. And everybody from the city came out. But rather than embracing this move of God, even though they didn't fully understand it and move forward with it, they came out and they saw the demoniacs. They were delivered. They were in their right mind. They were clothed. They were sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving teaching from him. I would think, upon hearing that and seeing that, I would go, "Hallelujah! Wow, there's somebody who can help these guys. This is absolutely incredible." You would think that would be the response, but it wasn't. The response was, "Jesus, we don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here, leave us alone." This wonderful move of God, which created fear and hope at the same time, and they saw the evidence of what it could do, and those who, if they would have chose hope, there would have been hope for deliverance for anybody else that needed it, for healing, for just eternal life. There was so much, had they allowed this move of God that they didn't understand into their lives and into their city, it would have taken them down a path that was all new to them and a little fearful because we fear the unknown. But it would have impacted so many lives. But instead, the Gadarenes rejected this incredible, powerful move of God because it was out of their comfort zone and it created a fear within them. And they chose for their city to live bound and sick without a move of God than to accept what God was doing. Hope eliminates the fear of allowing God to move in our life. The Gadarenes, what they experienced was an encounter that fostered both hope and fear, a hope that an entire city could be healed, saved, delivered, and transformed. But instead, they chose fear, they drove Jesus away, and no other lives were impacted. How would you respond to God today if he wanted to rock your world? How would you have responded? We would have liked to think that, if I was among the Gadarenes and I saw what Jesus did, I would have, oh, come, Jesus, come on, have your way in me. You know, we're very much influenced by the crowds. If everybody else is saying, hey, God, Jesus, get out of here, I don't know if we would have or not. I would like to think we wouldn't have, but God still wants to move in people's lives. He still wants to rock people's world. He still wants to reveal us things to us that our initial response is, oh, it's a little bit of fear. What are we going to do? Because we push beyond that fear and we say yes to God, that hope is there waiting to arise within us and to take us to new levels in God, to have experiences in God that we've yet to have. Or the other choice is to cave into that fear. Live in a very small box of understanding. God, I will worship you and follow you to the extent that I understand you. So the question is, would you say yes and push past the fear and anxiety? Or would you play it safe and say no and live a safe, mundane, boring life? You see, genuine hope gets us past the fear of the unknown and into a confident expectation of a better tomorrow. Even if we do not know or understand all the details. That's where trusting God comes in. What does Proverbs say? Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, and he'll guide us and things like that. So, hope awakens the heart, but it's also going to create a fear. You know, today we fear the Holy Spirit. We may not want to admit it, but we get a little nervous when the Holy Spirit starts moving beyond our realm of understanding. Especially, you know, in Pentecostal circles, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues and all that comes with that. We don't understand it. There, you know, it doesn't fit into this little box of understanding, and it creates a fear within us and an uncertainty and a doubt. Therefore, rather than trusting God and searching the scriptures to find out this really is of God, and saying, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. Therefore, I'm going to push past the fear and allow you to move in this area of my life and take me on these new adventures. And I tell you what, there's going to be a hope and an excitement welling up within us that is going to be absolutely incredible. The third reason hope is so important. First, it awakens the heart. Two, it abolishes the fear in our lives, enabling us to really follow God wholeheartedly. And the third thing is that it anchors the soul. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, talking about our hope in Christ, a hope both sure and steadfast. Now, I'm not talking about any hope. I'm talking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It is greater than any curveball life can throw at us. And let me tell you, whether you are a believer or you're not a believer, life is going to throw us curveballs. All right? Maybe we get the call from the doctor. You know, the hope that God offers, it produces a stability in our life. Because it is a hope that cannot be quenched by anything going bad in our life. It's a hope that inspires purity. Do we have those on the screen? I don't know if... Okay. It never disappoints. It's the hope that never disappoints. Now think about that for a minute. And you can look these verses up later, but God offers us a hope that brings, it's an anchor of the soul. No matter how bad the winds and adversities of storms of life are blowing and raging, that hope is an anchor saying, this will pass. You know, nothing can take this away. It inspires a purity because we want to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God because it just keeps hope alive. You want to squelch hope, then just live an ungodly, unbiblical lifestyle. And, you know, it will take you down a path that is destructive. It will take you down a path where hope isn't. Then hope never disappoints. Never, ever disappoints. And it's ours forever. It is a hope that not only for this life, Paul said that if we hope in Christ in this life alone, we're most to be pitied. It is a hope that goes on to eternity. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's addressing the church. Some of the believers started passing away, and people were really grief-stricken over the loss, and Paul addresses that, and he says, I don't want you to be like others who don't know Christ and have no hope. Have no hope. We are people of hope. It's a hope that cannot be lost to a bad economy, to political unrest, to failing health, or any other tragedy, or any other disaster in our life. How many of you, if you take the same route to work day after day after week after week after month after year, you start to get bored with it, right? And you want to take different routes so you can, you know, mix it up a little bit and you know, God reveals something to us, you know, salvation. Remember when you got saved, you're going, wow, this is really cool. And just that whole experience, that life-rocking, life-changing experience that God brought you into, then after a while, you live out life, and all of a sudden, boy, where did that fun feeling go? As we grow and mature in our faith, God takes us from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and from one experience to another experience. And there's nothing that can, as we press in and follow the Lord, and he just continues to reveal himself to us in greater ways and greater ways, and we get that renewed sense of hope and expectation, and it can challenge our faith, and it may, you know, that fear wants to kind of creep in and go, but we press past that and receive what God has for us. I tell you what, life will never get dull, it will never get boring, it will never get mundane, it will never become routine. And once we encounter the living hope of Christ, we know the answer to Paul's question in Romans 8:31. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now think about that. If God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what comes our way in the big picture. It can't take our hope, because our hope lasts forever. And it is hope in Jesus Christ. It is the shepherd's lives were completely turned around by this fresh infusion of hope. The Gadarenes rejected, and their lives could have come out so much different. The Christmas story, it's a story of hope, a hope that awakens the heart to a life of joy, a life of excitement and adventure. How many want that? You know, and if you stay too long just on one level with God, it's like that drive to work, you know, months and years into it. It's like, you know, there's got to be something more exciting. You know, you keep going, progressing, maturing in the Lord, it never gets dull, it never gets routine. But the Christmas story is a hope that abolishes the fear of following God wholeheartedly. I tell you what, it takes faith and it takes courage. Part of Paul was talking about faith and hope being very similar. Well, if you look up the definition of faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And so when God reveals himself, hope of a better tomorrow will push us past the fear of not understanding. And the Christmas story is also a story of hope in that it anchors the soul against the storms of life. This is how I want to close the service this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and do the song Oceans. And really read the words to that song. And my question to you is, your life, does it feel kind of drab and routine and lifeless and there's no expectancy and it just sort of one day runs into another? And you got on the internet the other day and I saw, you remember in Missouri, the protests and things here a few weeks ago? And I was watching Fox News, and this one reporter gave a report on what was happening. That was a couple of weeks ago. I got on the internet to find out that reporter had committed suicide. He lost all hope. God wants to restore hope to you this morning. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your past, God wants to give you a hope that gives you a reason for getting up in the morning, an excitement about life. So, usually I'll pray and ask people to raise their hands, but I'm going to, in just a moment, I'm going to invite people to come up to the altar, and we're going to just sing this song. And that's how we're going to close the service. But by coming up to the altar, you're saying one of three things to God. Lord, I pray that you would awaken my heart this morning to that renewed excitement about life. And Lord, I came in just feeling kind of hopeless and depressed and discouraged and beaten down. And God, just like you did with the shepherds, just give me that fresh infusion of hope that just turns my world all around. Or maybe God has done that, but you're fighting the fear of going places that God has asked you to go, but you're not sure you want to because it's the fear of the unknown. Or it's going to a level you've never been before. It's God asking you to step outside of this little box that you've put him in. By coming up, you're saying, God, take this fear out of my life and just replace it completely with this hope that creates a buzz and an excitement with me that I can share with others and let it steer me towards you and what you have for me. And the third thing, maybe you're going through some storms in your life right now and you need this hope to be that anchor, to give you something to hold on to and something to hope in, and that hope is in Christ. So God knows your heart, he knows your life, he knows your situation, but I want to invite you up and just let God do what he wants to do, and my heart and my prayer and my goal is that you would leave this place with that fresh infusion of hope in a way that makes you want to go find somebody and tell them about it. You know, and then go do and what it is God put on your heart to do. So let's stand. I'm going to pray, And then I'm going to come down to my seat, and the altars are going to be opened. And by coming up, you know which of the three that you're asking God for. He knows it. And just come and sing with your heart and lift up your hands and worship before the Lord. And just let God do what God wants to do in your life this morning. Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope. Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know, Lord, what we need in our lives. And I pray, Father, for those who need a fresh infusion of hope. Lord, that you would stir deep within them that longing to draw near to you to receive that infusion of hope. Father, take fear out of our lives, the fear of going to that next level in you, that next step with you. And replace it with a hope and an excitement, Father, that is faith-filled. And Lord, for those who are going through storms in their life, let that hope calm the waters. Let there be such an extraordinary peace that comes over them, Lord, that it takes them to that next level in you. Father, bless them as they come to this altar and just spend time before you. Go ahead, worship team, and just begin to worship and listen to the words of this song and just sing it from the heart and just let God do what he wants to do. The altars are now open.